I'm Rich Stewart, and today's session, I can't remember the title of it. Oh, Am I Political? Just little old me. I have a premise that we are unconsciously political. That somewhere in the process of living life in an ongoing kind of way, we make political decisions that we're not always conscious of. And I also have a premise that it occurs in sometimes in the ways in which we choose items that we need. So I'd like you to see how you choose items. We have a short list. I think there are 27. I think there's a mistake on it. It says one number of things, 1 to 27. 1 is the most important thing that you would like to have out of this list, and 27 is the least important thing you would like to have out of the list. There may be 28, 29, who knows. My secretary and I can never agree on counts anyway. If you need a pen, let me know. In looking at your surveys, we're not going to turn these in and I'm not going to grade them. How many had any deviations in the first three of having food, clothing, and shelter? What were the deviations?
I had food, shelter.
Okay.
I had food contributions and medical care.
Okay. I had children in there.
Okay.
I put keeping my utility bill current before I was going to worry about my clothing.
Okay. Home, food, and children. Okay. Okay. As we set those kinds of priorities, do you see some of the subtle differences that go on about what's important? I was kind of impressed the other night when John Schramm said that life insurance was mistitled, and that when they retitled it correctly, he might consider buying some because it's truly death insurance. I've kind of watched some of the faces around the room. Does anyone operate without life insurance here? A few. Each time we make a purchase, I firmly believe we make an economic statement. And to make an economic statement is to make a political statement. Now that you've put together this priority of financial values, I want to tell you that this is a questionnaire given to people who are on the borderline of going bankrupt. And the questionnaire is used to help them reassess where they are and why they got where they are. Sometimes the values can really get skewed out of position. And there are lots of reasons for that. I think probably 90% of most homes that I've been in, somewhere you will find either a Montgomery Ward catalog, a Sears catalog, or a Penney's catalog. And I think Sears has the best title for their Christmas catalog. It's called The Wish Book. Somehow in the process of living, we have been able to move economically beyond just the vital necessities. And the vital necessities, when people explored this part of the country, were food, clothing, and shelter. And the rest of that list beyond those three are the things that we enjoy beyond the basic necessities. Sometimes we do that for a role of contentment. It makes us feel good. If we were all benefited enough to be able to afford all 30 of these, I don't think we'd have any problems. We would have investments, we would have savings, we could enjoy entertainment in our home via a color television set, we would worry about education for our children. We also wouldn't even worry about our own reading material and enlightenment through subscriptions to magazines and other kinds of things. But to make a political statement also means you also then do some other kinds of things. If you have books at home and you spend money for books, does that mean you utilize the services of your public library? If your children have an encyclopedia set at home, Do they even know where your local library is? And part of your tax dollars continually goes to support that kind of institution. I use the same form with students at college, and they all kind of look at it really weird and go, well, I don't need an encyclopedia set. But the process is that a number of our students, after several years, were coming back, homecoming, following their graduation, saying, boy, I got a great job working for General Motors, but I don't have one dime after payday's over. Unfortunately, I know the position they've been in. And it's sometimes a hard one to bridge out of, where everything comes in on a Friday, both your paycheck and the bills, and by Saturday morning, if you sat down and wrote your contribution check, and a lot of our students don't do that, that's one of the first things that gets down around 27, 28, 29. You've paid your utilities, paid your rent, paid your car expenses, and suddenly you look up and you go, oh, well, I've got a couple of charges here and a couple of charges there, and I got to go buy groceries. And by Saturday evening, you look at it and you've got maybe 35 cents left to your name for the next 2 weeks. So we started using some kind of program to help students do some money management. And they were surprised to find out that they really do make political statements in terms of how it is they go about spending their money. And we have lots of people trying to influence us. Not unlike the same kind of influence that goes after people who are in elective office. We not only have the wish books, we have mail. We have sales representatives who knock on doors, telephone you, want you to buy 17,000 pictures of you and your family over the next year and a half for only $35, and all you have to do is come in and sit for the pictures, and then sit for the sales pitch afterwards, which wants to sell you even more. And I think my sons probably know television jingles much better than they know Bible passages. They can tell you what kind of cereal they want just by the jingle. They can be three blocks away and hear it wafting through the window of someone else's home and identify the cereal and probably what cartoon character is advertising it. All of that means that we have really lived in a good society. For the most part, we can be content. But what happens with our political statements? This is approximately 2 days' mail that comes into my office. I'm not sure about Chuck, but I think because I've subscribed to a couple of things, I've gotten on everybody's wish list. This one is from Partners in Reconciliation. It's a part of the Forum newsletter. Every time this comes, there's always a little insert about giving it to friends or buying a special book from the Lutheran Publicity Bureau. Do I need to add that book to my library? It's not only an economic statement, but a political statement, because usually the book is focused in one direction theologically, one direction or another. Some of it's unopened as well. This one's from 2030 M Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. It's a priority alert on a nuclear arms enclosed. I can't tell you whether it's from the left or the right. Oh, it's from Common Cause. And then there's the World Future Society from Bethesda, Maryland. Communications and the Future, the 4th Annual General Assembly, July 18th to 22nd at the Sheraton Washington Hotel. Buckminster Fuller, Geodetic Domes, was going to be there. I was on the road to Holden. Has Earth been visited from beings from space? That's just the envelope. I'm not even sure I opened the rest of it. But ultimately, it comes from Frontiers for Science. Now, this is just the political mail. This is the office mail. I'm not talking about the home mail. The Baldwin Cook Company, Deerfield, Illinois. Oh, it's a pocket secretary, something to keep your notes on. But it also means that you'll be on their mailing list forever and ever. The Committee for a Sane Nuclear Policy. The Council for a Livable World. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist. The Institute for World Order. It goes on and on and on. And literally, this is just about 2 days worth of mail. Now, obviously, some of this is directed in a political nature, but it says something about the way in which my contribution dollar is going to go or is not going to go. Because most of those are tax-exempt organizations. And they state that very fully on that little card that you send in. Tear off the stub and write in your contribution so that you can put it in your contribution file and file it for your income tax. We do make political statements. We make political statements in the last couple of years by what kind of car we drive. Between 1979 and 1981, we reduced the consumption of gasoline in this country by almost 25%. Something radical happened either in our driving habits or in the size of the cars we bought. But this year, something radical is going on as well. While over 1,600 car dealers went out of business in the last 2 years, Cadillac dealers are not closing their doors. I'm not sure what that means, but it's a political statement. That somehow there are enough of us still around to keep every Cadillac dealer happy. But 16 other automobile dealers went under. I say that because about 1979, I had a 1970 Volkswagen that was really on its last legs. I can remember a couple times I had people in the car and they said, "Do I have to ride with you?" You could look down through the floor and see the ground going by. I had repaired it several times. I had painted it several times. I had put in metal patches several times. I had also 197,000 miles on it. It had really given me good service, and I had absolutely no complaints. So about January 1980, we started to look for another car. About that same time, I was being jostled by all the folks in our congregation who worked for General Motors and the people who on the street who work for General Motors about buying American, getting rid of that foreign car. So I started to look around. I looked at Chevettes and Oldsmobiles and Buicks and all the J cars and the K cars and the X cars and who knows what other letters are going to come out in the future. And it became a political statement as to what kind of car was going to show up in my garage for all of my neighbors. It also became a political image when I started going to Toyota dealers and Datsun dealers and going, "Am I really walking in here?" Full well knowing that their cars, according to Consumer Report, has serviceable records, safety records, which are on a par with American cars. Well, I made a political statement. I ended up buying a 1980 Volkswagen Rabbit made in Pennsylvania. It's probably the worst Volkswagen I've ever owned. But at the same time, each time we do that, we say something politically about who we are and what we're to be about. I could very well have gone out and bought a Mercedes. Lord knows where the money would have come from. Or I could have bought a large Oldsmobile, or a large Buick, or a Cadillac, as my uncle was encouraging me to do. He felt that Volkswagen was not befitting a good minister. And I always had a good reply that I couldn't afford to feed his Cadillac idea. But part of it is that in our lifestyle, we do make political statements by what it is that we buy. I didn't realize it about the same time we also bought a new television set. Our old black and white died. And while my wife was twisting my arm to get another one, I kind of bent the other way and we finally got our portable color television. And we bought a good American brand, Magnavox, made in Mexico. About a year and a half later, our house was robbed. We had to buy another television set. So we went out and bought another American brand, Zenith, with parts made in the Philippines, Thailand, Hong Kong. You hear what I'm saying? Have you looked recently in the labels in your clothing? Is most of your clothing made in America, or is it put together some other place? I haven't done the real embarrassing one yet of going and looking at the cassettes that they tape record all these lectures with. A lot of tapes say American-made products assembled in Mexico. We make political statements about who we are and what we're about by the way in which we buy things. In our land of contentment, our land of opportunity, our land of the ability to do almost anything we want to do, assuming we make enough money or can save enough money, when we open our wallets or when we lay out a plastic card, we do make a political statement. Ned, you said you one of the top three things were you for were contributions. I'm not sure that all of us can say that. About 4 years ago, if you had said that, I'd been very embarrassed. Not that you could have told that, but I would have been very embarrassed. Because contribution was not high on my list. It was not a part of my educational process to make that an important part of my list. The irony is, the more I make that a part of my list, the less I feel it. And I've been very, very surprised that the IRS hasn't audited me by the rather severe jumps that's taken place in that one particular category. But at the same time, I must admit that I'm also one of those suckers for certain kinds of publications. I get weird newsletters in my office. Progressive Magazine is one of those, and I will admit that that's very far left. Worldview was recommended to me by campus ministry folks, so I get that as well. It kind of gives you a view of the third world with some church kinds of information as well. I don't necessarily know about the one they were talking about the other night that's based in San Francisco, but I do know about Food Monitor, another organization that's concerned about world hunger. One of the chief founders is Harry Chapin, a folk music singer who was killed in an automobile accident 2 years ago on the Long Island Freeway. And if you think not spending money is not a political statement, let me see if I can share something with you. It's of a series of Doonesbury comic strips that were never published. I had to pay Universal Syndicate and Gary Trudeau $100 so that we could run them as part of our campus ministry newsletter because I wanted to avoid copyright infringement laws. If I had published them without giving him due credit, then he could have come after me and taken me to court. By paying him that money, I also made a political statement that I support what he does. It's a Doonesbury comic, and it says, "And the new GAO report on school lunch programs is not expected to alter upcoming Agricultural Department guidelines. Even though the GAO found out that existing lunch programs failed to meet basic nutritional standards, the administration still plans to make major cuts in school lunches." Incredible. How does Reagan expect to cut lunches which are already subnutritional? With relish? Good idea, sir. Kids can't stand vegetables anyway. I won't read them all to you, but I'll pass them around so that you can look at them. And between the time that the Reagan administration thought about making the cuts in school lunch programs, they restored certain parts of that so the comic strips were never used. But how we spend money is indeed a political statement. Do you see yourselves as being political in that sense? I suppose in terms of looking at the way in which we're being challenged here about alternative lifestyles, what this community does for us is a political statement, and that challenges us. John Schramm, in his session before he left this week, said that part of even coming into this village is a think with. That the village has a lifestyle, and once we enter it, we're asked to think with the people of Holden, think with the community, to see what is one of the base elements of their thought patterns. And that's a challenge, because some of the things going on here are foreign to what we know on the outside. One of the ironies is that we spend an awful lot of gas and money to get here, which says something about our need to retreat. I'm willing to make the political statement that it's much more important for myself and my family to have good times together in terms of vacation and travel and experiences as opposed to buying new furniture. I think it's a political statement to say that I want to educate my kids about the vastness of this country and move them out of Ohio for the first time, as opposed to taking that same amount of money and maybe supporting a factory worker in North Carolina. I think it's a political statement to say that I'm going to expend somewhere around $1,200 in gasoline to drive back and forth, as opposed to conserving that fuel. I think it's a political statement to say whether or not we're going to get 16 miles to the gallon in our cars on an everyday basis as opposed to 23 or 30 or 33 or 45. Because each of those says something about the way in which we set priorities in the country. I think one of the biggest challenges is the one to our palate. I'm not sure most of us have gone this long without meat. Or we could kill a chipmunk too. But when we don't kill a cow, how much grain do we save? You understand what I'm saying? That those are political statements. I'm sure McDonald's is really feeling the pinch on my boys. I'm not sure what would happen if every Lutheran in the country boycotted McDonald's for a week. Would it be felt or wouldn't it?
So what you're saying is the allocation of our resources is in fact politics.
That's correct. And the one resource that I'm focusing on happens to be economics, that economic resource. And we all have it. It's a powerful tool that we have. It affects the kind of organizations we join or don't join. It even affects us on our income tax. There's a little box that says, will you give $1 of your tax money to the presidential campaign? How many check it? How many don't check it? Okay. You are making a political statement, one way or the other. That's not to make a judgment about the political statement, but it is a political statement. It's a dollar you never see or feel, one way or the other. One that I hadn't opened was Bread for the World. That's because I'm already a member and I usually throw them away until my renewal time comes up. But there are a number of organizations who ask for my money. Every year I'm constantly bombarded, not only by Food Monitor, but I finally succumbed to the bulletin for atomic scientists. I'd always heard about the clock that keeps ticking toward midnight. And I never had realized what organization it was until finally I saw the magazine itself and realized that was the magazine. And I finally subscribed just after they moved it off of 5 minutes to midnight. Each of us makes political statements in how we spend money, how we use our economic power, and we are a very powerful people. Ned was talking about his campaign for city council in his hometown. The irony is one of the most powerful realities of the last political election was that the Reagan administration made more use of individual donors than did the Democratic Party. And that's the first time in history that's taken place. The Republicans have received more individual donors for political campaigning than did Democrats. They also use some very powerful tools. One of them flooded my mailbox. It's called direct mail advertising. And while the Republicans were using it quite well, the Democrats hardly used it at all. People responded and made a political statement in terms of our current administration. That's not good, bad, or indifferent. That's just the way it is. And for the first time, we can't say that big business elected the president. We really cannot. The people spoke to Ronald Reagan to say, that's what we want to see for the next 4 years. And so while the Party of Big Business seems to have changed its wrapping for a change, it's now the Party of the People. Did anyone contribute to a political campaign in the last major election? Those who didn't also made another political statement. That there are other things more important for your dollars than political campaigns. That's not always all bad either. When I look at our last primary in Ohio, I'm absolutely flabbergasted at the amount of money spent on the governor's campaign and television advertisements. Chuck, I'm not sure if you heard a figure or not, but I heard somewhere close to $25 million was spent in the Ohio primaries. What could that money have done in some other kinds of places? And for the most part, it went to those who already have money and are making money. Owning a radio or television station is almost a license to print your own money. Very few of them go under, very few of them ever lose money. And yet they're one of the biggest political tools that we have facing us every time we turn on the radio in a home or a car or turn on our television set. I'm not sure that they always do us the best service in terms of giving us information, though, especially about campaign time and the advertisements. I think we need to see candidates face to face to ask real live questions. Kind of want to open it up to see if you have any kinds of responses to my saying that you are political animals and that your decisions are political ones.
Richard?
Oh, upstairs.
Yeah. In the back. Lately, in the last couple of years maybe, since I've gotten out of college and I've actually had to face real life in the real world kind of, I've been having a lot of struggles with just what you're talking about. For instance, when I first got a job, that was the first time I had my own money, really, since I'd been born, because it had always either been going toward college or that kind of thing. Or I felt like since my parents were paying for this amount, I should use that for the same kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I had this paycheck and, you know, an apartment and no family and no car and a lot of extra money that all of a sudden I couldn't understand. It just didn't seem right somehow, just because it was my paycheck that I could all of a sudden use all of it just indiscriminately because it was mine and I worked for it and that kind of thing. So I struggled a lot with that. But another thing that I've been thinking about is kind of my impact on other people, other countries, and that kind of thing. And it's really hard to know every little thing that you buy, who it's oppressing or who it's supporting, that kind of thing. For instance, if you buy something that was made in another country, is that supporting those people's exploitation for low wages, or is it supporting those people? And I've come to sort of try to be real sensitive to things, at least be aware, I think that's the first step, of which things maybe are not really necessary that I can't be sure of, but I'm pretty sure are not things, for instance, coffee things that are grown in countries that don't have a lot they don't grow anything for their own people's use, and everything that they grow is shipped to America or to other first world countries, that kind of thing. And one thing I've stopped doing in the last couple of years is buying wicker, because I really like wicker, like baskets and lots of things like that, until I realized why they were so cheap. When you think, and I make baskets myself, and when I think of all the work that goes into making a basket, and that I can go down to Kmart and buy one for $1.99. It probably took some woman in Japan or somebody in somewhere, you know, a third of their day to make that basket, knowing that they didn't even get the $1.99. It's just something that I think is really good to think about, and being real frustrated thinking, well, I may be being careful about that, but I'm probably doing something else that I have no idea what impact that makes. And I think that it's helped me to try to just lessen my impact. Since I can't know what is oppressing people, to try to live as locally and simply as I can. For instance, instead of maybe going to the store buying some vegetables that were grown across the country, because I know that happens. I think Chelan, somebody was telling me the other day that their vegetables had come from Illinois or some state where they know they grow those vegetables, also in Washington, but they're shipped somewhere else. And to grow your own, you have to worry less about that kind of thing. I think Wendell Berry has kind of helped me change my thinking, kind of like, don't retreat from the world, but try to be as self-sufficient as you can be so that you don't add to the exploitation of it.
One of the things that we try and work with our students in that first kind of move out is kind of a little limerick that when you have something, you either use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. And if you can't do without it, then you really need it. And it's almost like putting together a wish list along with your wish book. And if something stays on your wish list over 6 months, then it's something you really need. Because things change. You know, something you may need in January, by the time you get around to June, it's no longer on the list anymore. And those are the kind of things that continue to remain important for you. And then that's one way of setting your own priorities, of knowing how to spend something. And then I think we really ought to do investigation. I'm not saying that everyone ought to buy an American car. Because I think Detroit made some phenomenal mistakes in terms of hearing what people were saying about oil consumption and managing themselves. And they didn't face the competition that came. And if we're still operating under Keynesian economics of supply and demand, laissez-faire economics, then the Japanese did the plan very well. They saw what was coming and prepared themselves for it. Americans, on the other hand, still had some other kinds of management models that they were operating under. Those are the kind of questions we have to ask. I think they're serious ones. And it's hard going through a store. It really is hard going through a store and seeing something that says clearance. And you go, oh, geez, I'd really like to have that. And I've been wanting one for years. And the question is, do I need it? A couple times now I've gotten into the habit of going home and turning to Dawn and saying, geez, guess what I saw in the store? She says, oh, that's nice. And if she comes back with a, hey, we really were looking for one of those, then that makes another kind of decision. But it's really kind of hard sometimes to see those bargains, the things you've been looking at, or, you know, that suddenly come down in the range you want them. It's tough. It's tough to look at how it is that you spend your money. Others?
I think one of the things, this isn't, it's in kind of a different vein, but I decided a few years ago that the growing cults were a really serious issue for me. They were something I was concerned about and I was worried about, and there were quite a few rumors about particular restaurants in the Minneapolis area that were run by and owned by cult people. And so I started to make a survey of those restaurants and find out if I could, and it's not always possible to find out, but to find out if I could, those places that were cult-oriented restaurants, and in my own limited way, to stop going to them. You know, not necessarily to tell anybody else to do that, but just to stop for myself. Because I was really concerned, and continue to be concerned, about that kind of thing. Other people must have had the same feelings, because three of the places that I had decided to boycott and not say one word about, you know, other than to some very close friends are now out of business.
Other kinds of comments.
I guess we're all bombarded with mail, like you've been showing us here, and asking for contributions. I know from all over the country. It's rather difficult to know just what to support.
It really is.
Or how to support.
But I think part of it is the process that she went through, and that's to do some research. Many times, if I don't know something about an organization, I will write them and ask them, who are you sponsored by? You can check the letterheads of a lot of these organizations because a list of people. If there's no one you know on there, ask if they have any members in your area that you could talk to. I had trouble for a long time getting in touch with Common Cause. It just didn't make any sense to me. And I ran into the son-in-law of one of the members of my church who was the regional coordinator out in Denver. That was a very fruitful conversation. I'm not saying that people ought to spend their money willy-nilly, but they really should be understanding about where it does go. And it takes some time to do that. Sometimes it's easier just to throw the mail away and forget about the whole thing. I think when we do that, though, we also make another kind of political statement. I think one of the fun things for me listening to was the issue of gambling. Is it in North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota.
North Dakota. I think it was on one of the public broadcasting stations, and they were talking about the real rumblings in the state about what that all means as to how people spend their money. Ohio went through a painful experience with a lot of churches lobbying against the legislature who, got through a statewide lottery. It's amazing how much money goes into it, and while they told us it was going for education, we still find our schools in serious trouble.
That was a hoodwink.
Yeah.
It's a subtle misrepresentation of fact.
It's a damnable something-for-nothing mentality. It's just incredible.
I was going to say something about contributions that you really have to be careful. You get bombarded with very appealing appeals in terms of hunger and adopt a kid, in foreign lands. And there have been some ferocious television things about meeting needs and evangelizing folks in foreign countries, that third world nations. They're just playing ordinary ripoff. The amount of your contribution that goes into the administration and a tiny amount that actually gets to help somebody is just unbelievable. I guess one of those boys' ranches finally got the axe, but they made all kinds of appeals and hardly helped any boys. I mean, a few people rich. The Armstrong brothers, or father and son. Those religious programs. Religious programming is a good way to make a small fortune. The people just send in. Crazy.
Do you realize
making a contribution to your church?
Did anyone see the television show Pray TV?
Yeah.
It was about a young man who was having some coming out of seminary and was relating to a evangelistic preacher in his hometown and was having some difficulties about doing that kind of ministry as opposed to parish ministry. On the screen, they flashed an 800 number. Or was it a 900? I guess it was an 800 number. They received something like 2,500 calls in the first 15 minutes it was on. And Bell gave them the numbers, as an unused number, so that, people wouldn't dial an 800 number and keep getting it ringing. And obviously, made for television movie, they said that every time they came on after the commercials, but still people dialed the number. I don't know what to do with that.
Well, that says something about people's desire to do good things.
Yeah.
I don't feel
feel bad about the people who do that. I feel sad for them, and I think of that thing in Mark about the shepherds leading the sheep astray.
Something was said earlier in the week about the Lutheran Church's World Hunger Appeals, and I think our record is probably one of the better ones. And we got into a discussion about direct food aid, and if I'm not correct, most of the publications I've seen recently are saying that over 85% of our aid is not going into direct food anymore. It's going into farm implements, irrigation systems, so that people can self-sustain themselves in their communities in a style to which they are easily accustomed. That additional 15% is being saved aside for emergency needs in disaster areas. So that, you know, when we even talk about how we help other countries, when we give to the World Hunger Appeal, we're not giving, you know, bags of flour anymore. We're buying tractors, and maybe not necessarily the big John Deere's that we have, but small garden tractors because plots are small. Or we're buying equipment to put in fish farms or something else. That's what we're looking at now in terms of what is really helpful to people in their lands. So there are ways in which that political statement can be made.
One of the things that sort of link up to what we're saying about the different kinds of appeals, some states, I know Minnesota has one, I think other states have it too, that there's a central sort of evaluating agency for charitable organizations, and it's often cooperating with United Way. And you can write to or call those places and get information. And in Minnesota, charities that have fund drives in Minnesota have to be registered with this kind of an organization, and they have to reveal their financial statements. If they don't, then they don't get registered, and that's one, that's a pretty good indication that you probably don't want to give it to them if they aren't willing to tell you what they do with their money. And you know, it's a real helpful way to check up on those kinds of things.
I get kind of scared when people use that argument to not give, like when they say, well, who knows where my money goes anyway, therefore, you know, kind of that what can you do attitude. People watch the news and they say, oh, things are so awful, what can I do? Karen Schramm said that she went to hear a speaker at PLU from, I think, Nicaragua, and she was so frustrated by all the problems he was bringing up and that kind of thing. She said, well, what can I do? And what can I do that will really help? And he said, think globally but act locally. That kind of, you know, there are people with problems and hungry people in your own state and in your own city. And that's not to ignore those other countries, but to be less ready to act the kind of parent to other countries and take care of our own people here, and maybe get out of those countries a little. You know, I think some of those countries need us to leave them alone as much as they need us to rush in with our troops and our big farm ideas when those ideas don't work there, or when we don't know whether they will work. And I don't know, I also think that kind of research thing is a good idea, so that you're not just salving your conscience by giving money and not knowing what you're giving it to. I think television is pretty insidious that way. You don't really, I think that the news that I've always watched on television contributes a lot more to me feeling powerless and frustrated. And so I don't watch it anymore, and I try and get my information from sort of less biased sources, and I think there are less biased sources around if you look for them. Certain periodicals, and I think the BBC is less biased than most American stations.
Understand your power. It's very political. It can either help or hurt other people. Take the time to do the research so that we can also do justice. Thanks.